Let's turn to our scripture text for today. It's taken from Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, starting from verse 13, just five verses, this account, Mark 12, verse 13 to 17. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 12, and the verse 13, it says, "And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him," Jesus it is, "in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Now here comes the question, is it lawful to give tribute or taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto him, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Verse 17, And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Well, this evening, this passage that we have just read contains a very well-known phrase, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. Well, in our text, it was the Jewish leaders that really had it in for Jesus. They hated his authority. They hated his teaching. They hated his popularity. And so they devised a plan to put Jesus in such a position to either make him an unpopular opinion or unpopular person so that the people would say, well, I don't want to listen to this Jesus anymore. Or they were to make Jesus take a position that would get him in trouble with the authorities of the land. You see, they asked him a question that really was a lose-lose situation, at least in the eyes of these Jewish leaders. We see this in verse 13, this mindset that they have. They wanted to trip him up, so to say. Verse 13, they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And, you know, they paid Jesus a bunch of compliments. Of course, they didn't really mean it in their hearts. In verse 14, when they were come, they say unto him, to Jesus, Master, you know, we know that thou art true, thou carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of man, but teachest the way of God in truth. Well, you are a master, you are, what you say is true, and you teach the way of God. And so here's the question, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Well, we have to understand, perhaps just as a way of background, there are different types of taxes in the days of the New Testament. You see, there was the property tax. It consisted of one-tenth of all the grain and one-fifth of the wine and fruit that was produced. Then there was an income tax, which maybe might not seem much to us, but it was 1% of a man's income. And the Jewish leaders did not have, but during this time, the Jewish leaders, when they were asking Jesus this question, they did not ask this question regarding income tax, because that would have been not a big of an issue to Jesus or the people during that time. You see, there was a third tax called the census tax. And that's the word in verse 14. It's kensos, which is related to where we get our word census. This tax was applied to all men and women. And it was a payment of one in our Bibles. It says penny. The word is denarius, which is a one day's wage of a working man. It was a tax which everyone had to pay simply for existing. And so the Jews, they absolutely hated this tax. Perhaps it's some of the people here today or people in our land today that hate taxes. They hated this tax not just because it was oppressive to them, they had to pay it, but it also reminded them that they were subjugated to Rome. There was also another reason why they hated this tax, because it was also offensive to them. It was offensive to them because of what was printed or stamped on that coin. You see, if you took one of those denarius coins and you looked at it, on one side it said Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus. And so it was a great offense to the Jews because it claimed that Caesar Augustus was divine. He was God. And so on that coin, it has Tiberius' son, who was now ruling over Rome, the son of the divine Augustus. That's on one side of the coin. If you flipped it over on the other side, it would say it would be the mother of Tiberius, Livia. On that side, it would also say Pontiff Maximus, which meant the high priest. And so the Jews hated this coin because it was offensive to them. The second commandment, which they highly regarded, thou shalt not make any graven images. And so this coin indeed was of great offense. It reeked of idolatry. And so here comes the trap. The Pharisees, the Herodians, they came to Jesus and they asked, should we pay census tax to Caesar or not? And if Jesus answered, yes, you must pay this tax to Caesar, well, Jesus would be seen as pro-Roman, and he would alienate the crowds that have, you know, deemed him so popular. If Jesus answered no, well, then the Pharisees and the Herodians would walk Jesus right up the steps of Rome and charge Jesus, or ask that he be charged with starting an insurrection. He is saying not to pay tax to Caesar. And so we know the rest of the story. Jesus takes the denarius, asks them whose image is on the coin, and say, you know, what is Caesar's, give to Caesar's, what is God's, the things that are God's. And so it's pretty straightforward, right? Pay your taxes. Well, no, this is not a tax text. It says a lot more than that. And so let's unwrap this verse, verse 17, a little bit more and its implications. Verse 17, Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God. Well, notice firstly, there is an obligation. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Firstly, there is an obligation to be obedient. In verse 17, the word render means to pay back, as if you owe the debts. If you rack up $1,000 in debt on your credit card in 1 month, you owe it, you have to pay it back in full. Pay back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, the things that you owe. There's an obligation to be obedient. But then look at me with me at verse 14. It says here in verse 14, when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. And so here they ask this question, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? Now, this word give in the Greek is different than the word render in verse 17. In some sense, we could say in the English word it is like synonyms. But in the Greek, there are two words here in verse 14 and a different word in verse 17. When the Pharisees and the Herodians, when they wanted to trap Jesus, they asked them this question: is it lawful to give tribute or taxes to Caesar? And this word here in verse 14, give, is a verb of volition, a verb of choice. For example, in Matthew 20 and verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, here to give his life is the same word as verse 14, is the verb of volition. He chose to give his life. He wasn't forced to, but he wanted to. It is a choice. It's like a gift. Christmas is coming up. When you give a gift at Christmas, it is your choice. You don't give because you are indebted to a person and you owe them. You give a gift of volition. But you see, when we go back to Mark 12 and verse 17, render is a different word and has a different nuance. It is giving because you owe someone something and is tied to debt. It is not optional. In fact, it is compulsory. And so perhaps a direct application with our taxes is this. You know, there are certain services that we benefit from, for example, from our taxes. And so because of that, we as Christians and as citizens should be obedient in paying, for example, our taxes. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now here, this text is not suggesting that we should pay and be generous and pay more tax than we ought to owe, but we are to give what we have to lawfully, what we owe. It is appropriate for Christians to pay their taxes. Not only that, as a Canadian citizen, I learned this when a friend was taking their citizenship test, or they were studying for it. I said something along the lines of this, that as a citizen, not only do you have a duty to pay your taxes, you also have your duty to serve as a juror on jury duty. It helps to in sustaining, upholding justice in this land. Well, even as a Canadian resident, you have the duty to obey the laws of the land, the speed limit on the road. In the last couple of years that we have been with the public health orders, it is our duty to obey these things. And so this is the heart of God regarding our obligation to the government. I'm not saying that you ought to love paying taxes, but you have an obligation to obey them. You might not agree with them. You might not think they are right. You might think they are they're unfair. But in this land, we ought to render unto, like the phrase says, Caesar, what is Caesar's? See, when Jesus said these words, the Roman Empire left a lot to be desired in terms of morality and spiritual matters. But there's a reason. You see, God has put these powers, ordained these powers to be. In Romans 13 and verse 1, Paul was writing to the Romans in the time of Nero, who persecuted the Christians. And he says this, Romans 13 verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Again, Paul is writing this in light of how evil Nero was. And we have to realize that in this, Paul still calls for obedience. You see, God's way of order is through government. Whether it is a liberal government, whether it is a conservative government, when we rebel against the government and we don't obey, well, we rebel against God's establishment on this earth. And an example from the Bible is that of Joseph. If you look at Luke chapter 2, a familiar story during the time, probably in the next coming months, Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And it says here, verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Again, this is not the income tax. This was the census tax. Essentially, the tax for being alive. No one could argue that it was unjust and unfair. Even Joseph didn't say, well, this is unjust. I'm not going to Bethlehem. You know, Joseph didn't say, well, my wife is pregnant with the Messiah in her womb. There's no need for me to pay this tax. No, Joseph obeyed. Joseph went, nevertheless, he had and he obeyed this obligation. And so there's an obligation to be obedient to those that are in authority, just as long as it does not supersede the laws of God. So an obligation to be obedient. There's also an obligation to be truthful when it says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. We have an obligation to be truthful. I know there are a number of people that thinks taxes are unjust. They take matters into their own hands. They falsify information. They exaggerate certain expenses. And this is tax evasion. This last couple of years when, you know, during the early days of COVID, when there was, I forgot what the acronym stands for, but the CERB, and you hear of everyone who was taking advantage of it, even though it did not apply to them. They were not eligible, yet they were able to apply and receive some money. Well, we have an obligation as Christians to be truthful. And so maybe think about this way in some sense. You know, when you're filling out your tax return, think of it and you're submitting or you're clicking that button on TurboTax to submit. Think that the person on the other hand is Jesus who is receiving it. Think of him as your tax return auditor. You see, this does not only apply to your tax returns, but it applies to anything under the authority of Caesar. When you are at work, your timesheets, maybe you're paid hourly, whether you clock in 9 to 5, but in reality you work 9 to 3. You have an obligation to be truthful. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. We have an obligation to be obedient. We have an obligation to be truthful. But we also have an obligation to be faithful ambassadors as believers. Faithful ambassadors as believers. What is an ambassador? An ambassador acts as a representative of a nation. You see, when the Canadian ambassador goes to China, he or she does not convey their own opinion. He or she represents Canada's position on political matters. And so likewise is the case with Christians. We are representatives of God's kingdom. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And then in verse 20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." As Christ's ambassadors, we do it for Christ. In Colossians 3 and verse 22, here the context is that of servants. that are under the authority of their masters. Colossians 3, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, in the singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. You see, every job that we have, every service that we have to do, is not only a service to our employers, but a service to God. Do it as unto God. So we have an obligation. We have an obligation to be obedient, an obligation to be truthful, an obligation as ambassadors of Christ. But note here, not only is there an obligation, render, this word render, but there is also a limitation. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And you know, this verse does not go, render to Caesar everything, full stop. Nor does it say, render to Caesar all things. There is a limitation. Render the things, or render to Caesar the things, definite article, the things that are Caesar's. You see, there are things within the sphere of authority that Caesar has, that he can command. And it only belongs to him. Anything outside that sphere does not belong to him. In Acts 5 and verse 28, the apostles were told to stop preaching, and the apostles said, well, we ought to obey God rather than men. In other words, the apostles are saying this, we don't care if you are the government, you don't have the authority in this sphere or aspect of life. God has superior and infinite authority. Caesar's is limited. Anything that contradicts what God tells us to do, we have to say no. There is a limitation. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Also, it's not explicitly stated in this verse, but note that Caesar's authority is subjugated to God's authority, is subject to his authority. We understand that God is God and that he has supreme authority, and that God delegated the sphere of that authority to Caesar. In that sense, Caesar's authority is limited. For example, if you were the CEO of a company and I delegated you as the HR manager, well, you only have charge, or you only have supervision in terms of the new hires and the candidates. There is a delegated authority, and when there is a delegated authority, what it means is that there is a limited authority. God has supreme authority below him, which was delegated to Caesar, is a limited authority. So there is an obligation. There is limitation, but there is an ultimatum here. There really is an ultimatum. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. You see, in answering this question from the Pharisees and the Herodians, Jesus supported the legitimacy of a human government. And in fact, Jesus is saying that the coin that Caesar's image, that had Caesar's image, it belongs to him because it has his image. But you see, Jesus raises this issue to a whole new level, a higher level. Jesus adds on to the saying, he tags on, and this catches the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, by surprise. Render to God, you know, the word render there is implied, but render to God the things that are God's. At this moment, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Let's keep this idea here where because the coin has Caesar's image, it belongs to Caesar. And as we turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, there in the creation account, it says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Where am I trying to go with this? Jesus says this coin is stamped with Caesar's image. Therefore, Caesar owns it. Therefore, give it back to him. Likewise, you and me are stamped with God's image. You have an obligation to give to God that which bears his image. Render to God the things that are God's. The early church father Augustine said this, "We are God's money, and we are like coins that have wandered, away from the treasury. What was once stamped upon us has been worn down by our wandering. The one, capital O, who restamps his image upon us is the one who first formed us. He himself seeks his own coin as Caesar sought his coin," end quote. And so we render God to God ourselves because we have stamped upon us his image, and because we owe, render is an obligation, we owe God everything. Not only are we stamped in his image, God saved us from the depths of hell and sin. God is good to us even in this very life. The psalmist says in Psalm 63 and verse 3, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." So render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Again, going back to the realm of government and law, we're obliged to be truthful, we're obliged to be obedient, we are obliged to do these things because these belong to them. And if we don't pay our taxes, we don't obey the law, in a sense, you can say we're stealing. It's theft. And if you don't render to God what is God's, namely your life, since our human life is stamped with the image of God, we are stealing from God. So as long as you live your life, as long as you live your money, your business, your children, your family, think about this. You are stamped in his image, and all that we have belongs to God. We didn't create ourselves. We didn't put ourselves together in the womb. Neither did our business create ourselves. If we think that everything is from the providence of God, we are not free to do what we please. We don't own ourselves. We ought to render to God the things that are God's. So what does this mean? Well, Jesus reinforces this in this chapter, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 29, Jesus tells us what we are to give. What are we to oblige to render to God? Mark 12 and verse 29, Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." You see, give your tax to Rome, but give your will, give your soul, give your strength, give your heart to God. And so the question tonight is this, what are you rendering to God? Are you giving your body and your soul? God has given everything for us. The least we can do is give him ourselves. You see, God is a God of love. God is a God of love, and his love was shown to us in giving. You see, this world defines love like a feeling, but the biblical love is an action word. It deals with action. For God so loved the world, or God in this way loved this world by giving his Son. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave us his Son. God gave us eternal life. And because of that, we must render to him ourselves. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God. So tonight, do you see yourself as stamped with God's image? And if you see yourself stamped in the image of God, do you see that you are owed back to God? If not, I pray that you will know that in this, we ought to owe God our lives because he has given so much for us. He gave his Son to die on the cross for our sins. He didn't need to do it, but yet he did. For people so wicked and so vile and so evil as us, so that we may have eternal life. Not something that we earn by own merits, but something that is freely given to us only if we confess our sins and come to him in faith. And because of that, as Christians, we render to God the things that are God, our lives, our heart, our strength, our mind, and our soul. And so may God help us to render the things to him that are his. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have established the world orders. You establish governments so that there may be order, that there may not be chaos. We pray that you may help us to also see the greater authority, the supreme authority that is in you. And to see that you have created us different than all of other of all of creation. That within us, human beings, you have stamped your own image. And is in your likeness that we have been created. And so help us, dear Lord, to render to you the things that are yours. May every aspect of our lives be done for your glory. May you take our lives and let it be consecrated, O Lord, to thee. Take our hands, take our feet, take our lips, take our minds. And all these may we render and give back to you, because you have done so much for us. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.